this on? Good morning. This morning's share is sponsored by the Berger family. Le'ili Nishmas, Rabbi Berger's cousin, Yosef Arye Leib ben Eliezer Yaakov, Alav HaShalom. Unfortunately, his Levaya is taking place this morning. In particular, I met your cousin. He became a mechudin to the Kaganov family. Rabbi Kaganov works for the yeshiva. His oldest daughter married Rabbi Berger's cousin. A wonderful man. He told me he was the president for many years of the Bialystoker Shul in the Lower East Side. Anyone who's met Yidden from the Lower East Side.
No, I didn't have a son in Ishmael. I know him very well.
Yes.
He was sick for under 4 weeks.
He was sick very short. And
a week.
You know.
When we saw him at a chasm a few weeks
no,
ago.
No, it was yeah. Gone for a week. But my mother-in-law got a text 4 weeks ago that they suspect something. They're not saying anything because they're not sure what it was, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like 1 week. What's the doctor? It was like 1 week.
Lamaisa, people from the Lower East Side are a very, very special breed of Yidden. Just last night, the schus of being around one of the elders of the Lower East Side, Rabbi Reuven Feinstein, Shlita. And they literally live in a different world. I was standing with some of my Talmidim. I had the schus to meet him, and hear him speak at the Tomer Sarah event by the Trump Doral. And here you have one of the Ziknei Rosh Hashiva, the oldest Rosh Hashivas in America. He's talking about God. You know God? So I turned to one of my Talmidim. I said, notice his language. He doesn't say the Eibishter, Hashem Yisbarach, right? Ribono Shel Olam, all American God. But I said, I bet his emuna is much deeper than most of the people who could say the most highfalutin names for Hashem. I think Rav Reuven Feinstein is a depiction. Obviously, he's a Rosh Hashiva and Olam Gadol, son of Ramosha. But it trickles down to all the people in the Lower East Side. Such beautiful Pashat Yidden with real solid emuna. And it's a wonderful, wonderful neighborhood. And the president of the Bialystoker Shul. It's, this year should be an aliyah to his neshama. Today's share is brought about by, I guess you call it current events, a news story that went viral within the Jewish world. I hope it won't go viral beyond the Jewish world. A very interesting story. I happen to think the story, you know, I'm not here to find the culprits, as we'll soon see in the story. I'm here to analyze and use as a springboard to analyze halacha and very interesting topics. But first, I'll give you the story. The story is one of those stories that's very hard to understand. I would say a little bit unbelievable, but it seems, what I've been able to hear from people, it seems legit. Here's the following story. I'm sure everyone knows headquarters, the world headquarters for Chabad is 770 Eastern Parkway. An iconic building. You'll find replicas of that building in different spots around the world. You'll find it on people's talus of tefillin bags. Famous, famous building. Well, next time you sell a replica of the building, maybe they should add this to the picture. They discovered this week a tunnel under 770 Eastern Parkway.
Was Hamas there?
Now, the lines that people say, yeah, you know, unfortunately the Jewish world is very preoccupied with tunnels. Dangerous tunnels, Hamas's tunnels. This, I saw a news story, even more scary than now nervous in the West Bank. that there's tunneling going on over there, and the IDF is busy searching, you know, to hear noises, to make sure there's no tunnels over there. Definitely something one would think could be to be worried about. But here they found, you hear the story, Alan? They found a tunnel under 770 Eastern Parkway.
Right.
So much so, the tunnel, I don't know exactly how this played out, but it comes up in the building under the women's section. They discovered this tunnel. Now, this became public. This is the part, like, you're saying something that everyone knows of, very easy to check, is they shut down last Shabbos, the women's section in 770, because they're afraid that the ground underneath it was unstable, and they had to shut it down. So as of last Shabbos, it was shut down. It could be this Shabbos was open. Check with your relatives who live in Crown Heights. But they literally shut down the women's section in 770 because of fear that this tunnel destabilized the ground. Now, how did they find the tunnel? So the stories have it two ways. Firstly, they were doing plumbing work in 770. And within the plumbing work, they discovered this tunnel. Beforehand, neighbors around there were complaining about noises at night. And they were suspect that something was going on. They heard drilling. Very strange. Now, anyone knows how, where it's laid out, the building, Chabad, it's not even, okay, it's, you know, iconic house fronts. There's a bigger building on the corner. The corner off Eastern Parkway is Kingston Avenue. Across the street there's the Jewish Children's Museum. So this tunnel supposedly went from across the street, Kingston Avenue, underground, up into the women's section in 770.
From the Children's
Museum? Huh?
Not
from the Children's Museum, from a seems like some type of a house, perhaps a private house. In this house, there once was a mikveh. I saw a video of it. You can clearly see the handle rails going into a pit for a mikveh. This mikveh, it sounds like it's been defunct for a long time. Where the mikveh was, and I told this story over in my share, my Talmidim's biggest kasha was, where did they put the dirt? If you'd see people walking down Eastern Parkway with, you know...
It's Crown Heights, right? Right? Much stranger things people saw. People see much stranger things. I don't think they don't mind people carrying pails of dirt.
Pails and pails.
I'm with the guys.
Buckets of dirt. But the guys are the kasha, where's the dirt? Well, if you see the video, not a kasha. The mikveh is currently filled with dirt. There's dirt everywhere over that basement. It looks disgusting.
What was the purpose of the tunnel?
That's the million-dollar question.
Here's
what is... There's really $2 million questions. Number one, who dug it? And number two, what was the purpose of such a tunnel? This year is not looking to answer any of those two questions.
Oh, good.
Right? So if you're looking for answers, this is not a... This is a halacha share. This is not unsolved mysteries. I don't know who dug it. I don't know why he dug it. Yes?
Your question is, did they build it with a permit?
Of course.
That's not a question.
Of course.
The question that was asked was, it built with a permit? Absolutely not. Right? And that's why we hope this story does not get out to NYC Finance, but right, if it's all over the Jewish websites, it could be they know of it already. But the original theory, here's one for the books. Now, even if you stop here, I'm not sure we could put this on the list. Well, the top 10 wildest stories you've heard in the past 10 years, past 20 years. No? This sounds like a pretty, pretty wild story, especially within the firm community. I never heard anything like this. The original theory of what happened was the following. The original theory was, during COVID, obviously, the world was shut down. Shuls were shut down. 770 was padlocked, was shut down. They suspected that there were people that were wanted access to the building, so they tunneled in. Which, if you go with that theory, that means this tunnel was made about 3 years ago and somehow was undiscovered in all that time. Very strange. They supposedly, Chabad brought in engineers and all types of people, A, to look at their floor, and B, just to analyze the tunnel. Their analysis said that this tunnel is 3 to 6 months old. That's it, not 3 years old. So this is something that happened recently. So that kills the COVID theory.
That's a good construction crew.
Yeah, they're asking for the construction company's name. Schumer's, I'm not sure they're giving out
Schumer's
their...
Schumer's looking for the person.
Yeah.
But
it's a fascinating story.
They're looking in Fort Lauderdale to turn on
the... Right, right. I said maybe this is Elon Musk's work, but it doesn't have a signature. Yeah, looks professional, but not that professional. So what I would like to do today is use this fascinating story as a springboard to analyze cases like this. To analyze, yeah, if a person makes a tunnel that goes underneath someone else's property and shakes the foundations of that, what's the halacha of that? But you don't have to go dig tunnels. I mean, this thing is it boggles the mind. This is Kingston Avenue. That's a major street. Power lines, sewer lines, well, there were no subway lines.
And the
huh?
Subway's
okay, so yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's just like crazy, going, you know, digging tunnels.
Underground stuff there.
It's amazing. So what I would like to expound upon is, okay, let's talk about, you know, many times people do construction, and the construction they do on their side of the property cause problems on the other side of the property, especially in cases where people end up going to the border. I was just asked a shaila a couple of weeks ago. Someone just purchased a house, and he was asking me, you know, exactly where could he go up to, you know, on the side, you know, in terms of someone else's property. He was asking in terms of planting things and climbing, all different things. But yeah, there are halachas of Ben Amal Chavero, of Niske Shechenim. So how do you view this? So this was a classic, very interesting shayla, which I used in yeshiva to chazer Baba Kamu and Messiah Balabas with my Talmidim. I brought them this case. I said, what does this look like to you? So, Daf Yomi's up to Baba Kama. Perfect. Those of you doing Daf Yomi, this is a good case to bring to your share. So the first thought that most people had was, oh my gosh, a tunnel is like a pit. This is a din of a bor. Halachas of a bor. Who makes a bor?
Well,
that was the first discussion that we came up with. Now let me explain. I think this is a good platform.
The problem with the bore is that you fall in, but if it's a closed tunnel, it's not really the same thing.
Excellent point.
The bore is on the property. A tunnel, the person owns the land under it and the air above it.
Excellent. So let's talk.
So they're trespassing.
Bore is one of the most fascinating concepts in a person being responsible for damages, right? The Gemara talks about you're responsible if your animal does damage, you're responsible if you light a fire and the fire spreads and does damage. And one of the other cases majorly in Baba Kama has talked about is a pit. And there's all types of pits, right? If you leave your knapsack in a public domain and someone trips over your knapsack, that's a bore. If you dig a hole, you know, the Gemara debates, you know, Barbara Shasayachid, you know, you had a hole in your backyard and it wasn't, you know, and someone happened to come into your backyard, you know, there could be issues there too. Okay, what are you doing in my Rishos? But for sure something that borders on going in, and a board doesn't have to necessarily be just straight down, it could be sideways, they have all different scenarios.
Well, this one's definitely sideways.
But there's two points about Bor Chayiv for. And I think it's very interesting. One aspect the Gemara says you chayiv for, according to one man d'amar, is the a person falling into a pit and hitting the bottom, getting hurt by chavata, by the damage. Just the bang itself hurts you. But there's another discussion by Bor, which is very interesting, is havala, hevel. Toxic fumes, the Gemara says, in a bore of 10 tefachim deep, that amount of time depth, the air at that point is so dangerous, if something would fall in there, it could die from it. Now, I was just debating this whole topic of bore this week, you know, share. I came across a very interesting news item. And it hit me, like, oh my gosh, of course. Unfortunately, they had a case of an Israeli soldier dying, not from a gunshot wound or anything like that, but from fungus. And one Israeli soldier, Rahman, passed away from a bacterial fungus that he picked up in Gaza. And the report that I read was there are multiple others who are in the hospital with these type of bacteria fungus, and it seems they have no treatment able to do with them, which is very dangerous. And the Israeli army, the Israeli health department is looking to see what they could do for such a thing. They can't treat it. The soldier, it seemed like, you know, he contracted this issue and passed away relatively quick. So one of the theories that they have is that the ground in Gaza is so toxic because of all the underground tunnels that these people are building. That's a random theory. I saw the news item, what's going on, you know, in Gaza. So I said to myself, oh, maybe you don't need the Israeli health department. I'll show you Baba Kama. The Gemara says, when you dig underground, there's a danger of toxic fumes. That's a bacteria, that's something. You know, just, it's fascinating. You know, so this is another reason, don't you be digging your pits. You know, besides people obviously falling in unstable structures, when you're messing with the ground and really underground, you don't know what you're pulling up, what you're doing to the environment, and what you're exposing people to. It's dumb, it's crazy. But in analyzing first the case that we're dealing with, here these people went. Again, we don't know who it is. We're not telling you. We don't know. No inside information here. But when people are digging, let's assume it was a group of people that dug this pit, and this pit, let's assume, destabilized the ground, the floor of the women's section over there in 770. So right now, Baruch Hashem, no one got damaged. No one fell into a pit. Really, the idea of falling into a pit is first and foremost, you have to have a hole. If someone falls into that hole, you're responsible to guard that hole, no one falls in it, or fill it up. Here, we're dealing with a situation, nobody actually fell in yet. But there's, can't deny, there's damage. Who knows how much? Tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, destabilizing a whole structure. It's a big deal. But that's not bore. Bore means, as argued here, is you made a hole, either someone falls in the hole or gets toxic damage from that hole. But here, you just destabilize the ground. So that's not exactly a pit. That you become the Baal HaBor and you're responsible for that.
If it was to destabilize further, and then, you know, then it would.
Right. Once if then it would cave in, yeah, and someone would fall into it, or someone fell into, you know, if they made holes in the other side and someone fell in on that, that would be an issue of bar. But here we're just at the stage of destabilizing the ground. It's hard to say at that point that's a bar.
A bar, by definition, is something that has some sort of an entrance and entrance or exit. There has to be a hole.
Right.
A hole.
Correct.
So. Can't you define a bore as starting, because it can go any direction, as starting over here and going sideways? sideways for a long way.
True.
It's still over there.
True, but that, but in order to be chai for a bor,
it has, you have to fall that, through.
Right. The essence of a bor is you come to the pit. The victim comes to the pit.
If I leave my anvil in the middle of the street and someone crashes into it, that's not a bor, but I'm chayiv in terms of bor.
If you leave your,
if I leave an anvil,
and someone trips on it, or someone bangs into it,
someone crashes into it, or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bor, but I'm chayiv because of bor. It's not because it has an entrance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. 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 Yeah. True. That, we gave that case before. Yes.
Wouldn't something like this actually be more related to fire because you have a problem in one place that causes a problem that moves to another?
Interesting. But we will see. Simple definition of fire is mazik of esh, is you light a fire and it spreads. When you're not, you know, yeah, the Gemara talks that the definition of fire goes beyond fire. It's really, because the Gemara's case of Aish is you light a fire here and it spreads through the wind. So the Gemara expands the definition of fire, not to mean just fire, but any object which is carried in the wind, which does damage, that's Aish. So the Gemara has a very interesting case. Because let's say you put a rock on...
Aish is mobile.
Right.
As opposed to a bor, which is stationary.
Exactly. The Gemara could have a case where an object starts off being a pit that someone could trip on, but if it's in a place where it's possible for it to be thrown through the wind, then that would be an ish. Because you should expect that the wind's going to come, take your rock, and throw it into something.
So in the case of a hurricane?
Yes.
In case of a hurricane, I'm responsible for the stuff in the yard.
Yes, exactly.
That's real.
Exactly. So, good point. A hurricane might be considered a ruch she'ina mitzuyah, a wind that's not normal. Yeah, before, but what's the idea of ruch she'ina mitzuyah? It's because you can expect that. But if you have a case of where there's a hurricane warning, and you could expect your projectiles in your backyard are going to fly everywhere, and you didn't do your due diligence locking them down, from a halachic perspective, that might be reason to be chayef, even though it's a ruch she'ina mitzuyah, because you should have known about it. There was fair warning. Now, what I would like to do now, everyone has a Gemara, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, this is Bava Basra. I want to quickly go through some Gemara in Bava Basra. I remember we touched upon this last year in a share. Let me just show you the fascinating halachas. We're talking about neighbor relations and, you know, Kananahara. I can't speak for Hollywood, but I'm pretty sure it's going on in Hollywood too. The amount of construction that you see here, Kananahara, in our neighborhood, is unbelievable. There's construction everywhere. Right? Almost block after block after block, you see knocking down houses, building houses, a lot of construction. So like you said, these halachas are very relevant on a daily basis. So the halachas here in Bava Basra and Perkel Yachbar talk about nischei shchein and damages between properties. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, marchikin es ha'ilim min ha'bor, you're supposed to distance your tree if you want to plant it near a pit, 25 amos. So trees with bigger roots, you have to do 50 amos. Whether we're talking about a situation where it's vertical or horizontal.
Our yards are not that big in the first place.
Yeah. Okay, that's for Hollywood. Imabor Kadma. Right? Okay, the boar got there first, so then you could cut down the tree and you pay him for it. Then Elam called him, the tree got there first, lo yikots, he got to keep his tree there. Savizekodim, it's a question who got there first, lo yikots, you don't cut it off. This is all the opinion of the Rabbanan. If Yossi Omer, apple pisha borkodemus le Elam, even though the pit got there before the tree, now, in this case, we're saying who's the one doing damage? The tree. Because of the roots of the tree will destabilize your pit. Or really, it's your pool. You know, like, yeah, something, you know, with concrete lobbed off, that's going to destroy that. But okay, you could do something. Right? Even though the victim got there first, lo yikots, shezechov betok shalov, zenot betok shalov. Rabbi Yossi has an opinion, a very interesting idea, is the default assumption, and that's the idea of the Rabbanon, is whoever we classify as the mazik, the one doing the damage, he has to distance himself. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the victim has to distance himself. Because as long as what you're doing is in your property, so that's part of your property rights. I can do whatever I want, my property rights. I might hurt someone else. Let the victim move. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Okay? Now, the Gemara has an interesting case. I want to skip to the last five lines of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha k'divrei Rabbi Yossi. So firstly, the Gemara paskins, black and white. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that the victim is the one who has to move. So people have property rights, and normally that means they could do things. You know, we'll talk about it exactly up to the border, close to the border. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi states, Gavinan be Rav Kana, Havyaminan modi Rabbi Yossi b'ki didei. Rabbi Yossi admits by a case which is Giri Didei, literally translated as his arrows. There are some cases where I'm doing something in my backyard, where the act in my backyard, it's as if I'm shooting arrows into your backyard. You brought up H before. This is actually pretty close to H. Might be even beyond that. Right? The Rush uses the Lashon describing Giri Didei. It's kemazik b'yadayim, as if you're damaging with your own hands. We understand a person's responsible, adam mazik, if I would smash someone's car, right, with my hands. Right? That, of course, I'm chay for that. If I take an axe and smash it, of course, that's me. If I would shoot something at it and damage it, that's also me. It's my projectile. It's coming from me. So the Gemara views that there are cases of things which are Giri Didei. It's considered your arrows. What's an example of that? The Gemara brings a case. Papi Yunoi Oni V'Hesher. Some guy, Papi Yunoi, he was originally poor, but he hated rich. Havi Bana Pundisa. He built his palace, right? The first thing you do when you win the lottery, build yourself a big house, right? Chinuch wise, good question. Don't tell your kids. Keep the money in the bank. So Gemara basically has a case that they were doing some work, getting some sesame seeds, so it caused Papi Yanai's mansion to shake. He became rich, but I guess he had faulty construction. We say Rabbi Yossi admits by Giri Didei, by your own arrows. In this case, the Gemara considered they are doing such things, jackhammers, whatever they were using over there, that caused the next door neighbor's house to shake, caused damage there. Where it says for that, you have to stop yourself. Now, I saw an interesting point. I saw one of the Eliyahu Baruch Finkel makes a point in this Gemara in the Mir Rebbeim. He asks, if you're telling me that when I shoot something, I'm responsible, okay, yeah, that sounds pretty posh. That's mazik b'yadayim. What's the Gemara proving from this Ravashi case, right? Do you think Rabbi Yossi would say it could be mazik b'yadayim? What's the Gemara's havmina? Like, why do they have to bring a proof from this case? So he says a pshat, he bases it on something Reb Chaim Brisker said, that there's a tzad to say in halacha, if you're doing something in your backyard, even if it's adam mazik, one might think that's part of Rabbi Yossi's din of property rights. I could do whatever I want in my backyard, even if it's going to come out to damage you, and I'm the one damaging you. But if I started, I'm sort of safe. If I'm doing it in my backyard, then I'm safe. To which the Gemara is saying, no such thing. If your fingerprints are on the damage that was done, it's considered your arrows, which is considered your koach. it doesn't help you doing the privacy and the permit of your backyard. You're fully responsible. That's what they're bringing out from this Gemara. There's no excuse for something when it's viewed as adam amazik. There's no excuse. You're fully responsible.
When we talked about that a few months ago. You brought up the idea of somebody has a swimming pool in their backyard and the neighbor built a giant house with a window overlooking the swimming pool. So who's liable for putting up some sort of...
Okay. The case you just brought up, which is another case, which happens a lot also in the neighborhood, that we talked about last year, of a person building a swimming pool next to someone else's. There, that's a different type of damage.
The swimming pool came first.
Right.
And the big house, you're right.
It's interpersonal relations, niske shchenim. There, it's a different type of damage. That's viewed hezek ria. That's viewed as a damage of me looking at you. Now, aside from maybe some of the lashonos, pashpshat, no one's going to call hezek ria your errors. It's not the same. In order to be the level that I'm talking about, really what I'm saying is a case where I do something which my fingerprints are on it, can mazik be a dime? That's adam mazik. Hezek ria is usually viewed less than that. It's I can't do something in my backyard. I'm embarrassed to go swimming because you could see me.
No, understood. But my point was that there was a shaila as to who was liable.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Who was liable?
So seemingly in this case, I actually brought this case to a dayan yesterday. I asked him what he thought about this case. I didn't name him Chabad, but I said, someone would dig a tunnel, someone's property. So, right, we came to the same conclusion. That would be Adam HaMasek. That's you doing something with your hands. And even if it was accidental, you didn't mean to weaken the ground of your neighbor's property. But if you're doing something, right, this would be, if I'm doing it in my backyard, I'm digging a tunnel, okay? I want to practice, I'm training for the IDF. So I'm tunneling in my backyard, to practice, right? If that would in any way damage the property on the other side, by your digging things, that's your damage. That's seemingly part of you. If you can view that as adam mazik, I'm shaking. Kamara mara maprala arla. Every shovel I dig is weakening your land. And I'm responsible for that, even my backyard. Certainly in a case where I infringe on you, I went under your property. Of course, that's adam mazik, and everyone involved in that is responsible. Yes?
This seems like it goes even further because it doesn't seem like there's any compensation or dispensation for the case where you had no way of knowing that that would happen and you should not have had known because it never happened that way before, or
right.
It's not.
Well, you're bringing up really, that's what we talk by, like, your animal does damage, or your fire. I should have realized if I leave something in my backyard during a hurricane, it's going to fly there. That's there, we're judging really your carelessness, and you should have known something that would happen. But that's beyond it. When it comes to adam mazik, even if it will be accidental, and the adam mazik is. If we could trace it, that's viewed as you doing the damage, we throw the book at you. That's more chumra than other things. Now, regarding our case is a second point. And again, I don't know who did it, but a very interesting point. If you have multiple people doing damage together, they're all digging a tunnel. So when the news broke, let's say 10 guys were digging, two smart guys, ended up in Israel. Other two guys, let's assume these people are from the Crown Heights. They could end up anywhere around the world. They have connections. People ditch town. And all you have left are two schloppers that, what would you say in that case? 10 people did the damage together. 8 of them fled. And you have one or two guys that you caught. Are they responsible for all the damage? So I want to show you a very interesting halacha, and again, this is something which is a general rule, which will be relevant in many cases, and it's important to know. When you talk about doing damage, unfortunately, you have cases that people do damage to you, And, you know, you have to work it out. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Choshen Nishpat Simen Tov Yud. Okay, I give you the full Shulchan Aruch here. It says, Yesh Misha Omer, Hu Adin L'Shleim Sheziku V'Shnayim B'nei Chiyuva. Two people do damage. I'm reading from the Halacha and Lamed Zayin. Two people do damage. In the middle of the thing, that's the Shulchan Aruch right there, the Beis Yosef. Two people do damage, and they're both responsible. El She'echad Barach. Shulchan Aruch's case, you have two people did the damage, and one guy flees. O She'ema B'mal Shalem. Or he claims bankruptcy. I have no money. The halacha is nishtale me'acher. You take your money from the other guy. He's bankrupt. He runs away. You can collect fully from the other guy. Ad shir mashal yichayiv on nezek zeh. Up until the amount that he would be responsible for this damage. Ilu also levado. If he would do it by himself. Okay? Now, you know, obviously a case could get tricky. What happens if you're dealing with the damage where he can't do it by himself? He needs other people to do it. So then in the case, seemingly you'd have to prorate it. I can't be responsible for all the damage, but I should be responsible for part of it. The Yesh Cholkin, others argue, the Kivan the Chavera Midina Bar Tashlumim, El Sheinu Malasalim, people argue, Shulchan Aruch brings, look, the other guy is also responsible to pay. He doesn't have what to pay. Lama Yifar Zeb Ishvil. Why should I get stuck with the bill because of him? So the Gemara has this case. I'll give you the ramification of the Gemara's case. Fizes Shor Shadacha Behima Labar. An animal that pushes another animal into a pit. In the nowadays. Enam Ashalam El Gimel Chalakim Af Bisha Shor Pater. Avme Revia, Shorei Ein Don and Dinik Nazos. Okay, this gets involved with Shor and the idea of Chatzi Nezek, and nowadays that's viewed as a Knas, and they'll collect that. But you could definitely have cases. The Gemara had this whole discussion, the Gemara comes in a pretty cool case, where there's multiple actors doing damage, and the Gemara makes it even more complicated, right? Where are they up to in Daf Yomi right now? Baba Kama what? Oh, his mom is right there.
It's right there. So the Shor
comes... Yeah, there's Nun Gimel, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So the Gemara has this great case, great Ksos, remember that Ksos?
It's more than one.
Yeah. Oh no, the great one. So the Gemara had that case of a Shor, an Adam, push an animal into a pit. So the Gemara really does like a 3D case, because the Bor has its own set of dinim, the Adam doing damage has his own set of dinim, and the Shor doing damage has their set of dinim. And they all converge in one case. But really the principles, so the Gemara there is really showing like three dimensions of different types of damage all converging in the same case. But really some of the principles are just in general. Three people do damage together. One's not there, could I collect from the other one? Very, very interesting. Lamaisa, what do you gain from all this? I think a few things. Is a person has to be, the Gemara says an idea, told the Rishonim you have an idea. You know, really more, you know, people in general are very cautious. Right? We started this share talking about a case of where people originally thought this whole thing happened during COVID. You know, a lot of people during COVID, you know, how careful they were before they left the house. Careful they were with masks, many other things, all seemingly, first and foremost, to protect themselves. They don't get sick. The Gemara uses a principle, Tosis brings us, that really a person should be more careful not to do damage. On a higher level, you should be more cognizant of being careful not to do damage than being careful not to get damaged. Right? Of course, everyone's going to be extra careful not to get damaged, but the Torah perspective is you have to be even more vigilant, make sure that you don't do damage. A person should never be a mazik. You know, a lot of times, you know, people get caught up with, you know, I don't know why these people dug this pit. But whatever it was, they got caught up doing it. I don't think they had intention to weaken the floor of the women's section of 770. I don't think that's what they started with. If they want to do that, just take axes and, you know, blow it up. That's not what they were trying to do. They got caught up in something else. But a person has to be so vigilant, Chas v'Shalom, not to do damage. You know, recently someone was talking about me, and this deserves his own chair, but it was a little bit, I remember we did one of these shrimp last night, we brought this up, but someone was talking about the amount of car accidents in a certain community, which is above and beyond any normal thing. And you know, you have to signal before you turn, you have to stop at stop signs. When the light is red, that means stop. People could be very aggressive drivers. I was driving down the street like the other day. Like, it's so funny. Like, I was coming to Avos Sabanim. So I'm driving my car. Now, my car happens to have a few bumper stickers. It might show that I'm a Rebbe. You know, I make the turn to come into yeshiva. I literally saw somebody. He was behind me a second ago after the turn. He jumps, goes into the left lane, jumps in front of me to cut me off.
Welcome
to get into
Miami.
Yeshiva first, yep. To get potentially a parking space before me. I think to myself, like, you know I'm a from Jew. I'm going to the same place you're going. You just, like, what are you doing? Right? And Chas v'Shalom, if that would cause an accident, people have to be super vigilant when it comes to doing damage to somebody else. And Adam and Mazik were responsible even for, you know, your car is you. The same thing your jackhammers you, your car is you. And you're responsible for that. And people have to be very careful when it comes to doing something. The chiddush is, Adam and Mazik, even if you're doing it in your backyard, doing totally my property, but something that could potentially do damage in your property, and it's Adam and Mazik, I'm fully responsible for that. So we'll be zochet to be saved from such damage, both on the receiving end or chas v'Shalom, the giving end.